Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, including the ones that are online, let's give God some praise. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Today we are having our special guest, Pastor Pam Marshall, and she will be speaking on part two on The Lord is My Shepherd and No Shepherd is My Lord. And Pastor Pam Marshall, you can go ahead and start, but before, let's have Sister Beverly open us up in prayer.
All right. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we do want to come before your precious throne of grace. And we just continue to thank and to praise you for each and every day that you give to us. We thank and we praise you for every opportunity that you give to each one of us to represent you, Father God, in this world in which we are living. And today, Father God, we come to embrace our sister, Pastor Pam, as she's coming forth with part two of a message, oh, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would just bless her, Father God, to speak forth your word in just the way that you want all of us to receive it, dear Heavenly Father God. And I just pray for any and all that will ever listen to this message, dear Father God, that they would be touched by the words that you use this precious vessel of yours to bring forth here today. And so I believe all of us are in agreement here when we say thank you, Lord, and we're open. We have open hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord through the vessel that you have given us this day in the way of Pastor Pam. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, and welcome everyone who's listening. My name is Pastor Sam, and today I want to talk about the Lord is my shepherd, and no shepherd is my Lord. And we're coming out of Psalms 23. I'm just going to recap a little bit, not much, but just a little bit, verses 1 through 6 of Psalms 23. It states, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comforts me." Hallelujah. "They have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." couple of weeks ago, I pretty much only talked about verse 1 and kind of maybe a little bit in verse 2. But I want to kind of touch on verse 2, 3, and 4 today, if we could get through all of that. But I want to talk about you being his sheep and him being your shepherd. And do you really hear him? Do you really belong to him? Amen. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the book of John, we talked about the good shepherd, and we also talked about the hireling, which is also in the book of John, John 10, 12, and 13. So you could go back and read that, because that is clearly, you know, that should open up your eyes and give you greater discernment, give you greater revelation on what a good shepherd is and what a hireling is. So in verse 2, he talks about, excuse me here, in verse 2 of Psalms 23, he said, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. Well, what is that? What is still waters to you? Is this still waters? Is that contamination? What does that really mean to you? When he lies you down, he's lying you down because he's trying to free you. He's trying to protect you. He's trying to just rest in his presence. He's giving you a positive posture to take, free from worry, free from hunger, free from parasites, free from being tormented. He said, I'm allowing you to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. Well, what is still waters? That to me, well, you can kind of pray and ask God, what does the still waters mean to you? But you can also do a study on it and to find it more clear on what the still water is. Still water is uncontaminated water, no sticks, no stones, no pebbles, no bricks, no termites, no, it's not dirty. It's not a dirty pool of water. He's giving you clean, healthy, living water, the living water of God. He's giving you that to thirst after. He's giving you that to drink so you can become healthy. Amen? And so that's what still water is. It's nourishing. You know, it's not contaminated water. And so you could do your study on that to figure out what your still water is. And you'll be amazed at what you come out with. Amen? So if you go to verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So what is being restored to you? What is your soul? Okay, how is he restoring you? How is he leading you in the path of righteousness, being right? Being righteousness is being right. It's being just. It's being justified. It's going down the right path. It is almost like a security blanket. God and his staff is pushing you from one side to the other side, keeping you on a straight and narrow path. He said he's leading me in the path of righteousness. He's leading you in the path of holiness. He's leading you in a path to where you can he can smile down on you. He's leading you to a path where you can be fruitful. Amen? He's leading you into a path where you can become whole. He's leading in this path of righteousness, okay? So you can have multiplied, where you can become whole, and you're multiplying, you're being fruitful. And so verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comforts me. So if you're going through, if you have a situation or you're being traumatized, and, you know, you just at a despair right now, or despair is in your life, then he said, it's just a shadow. He said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. So it could be sickness in your body. It could be a family member that's not doing well. He said, it's a shadow. But we have to learn to trust him. We have to learn to believe him. We have to learn to want his will for our life. We have to learn to submit our old nasty ways. We have to learn to allow our flesh to die daily, to walk down this path of righteousness. Is it easy? Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more harder for us to submit, although we say we love the Lord, but when it's harder for us to submit to him, then our flesh is in the way. You can't go to war when you're in a valley of when you walk into the valley of death. That's almost like a war zone right there. You can't go into war with your helmet of salvation not on. You cannot go to war with your armor not on. You can't go to war with the spirit of fear on you. You cannot walk through this valley with all this junk on you. But if your helmet of salvation is not on you, that's just like going into the enemy camp. You might as well say you can live in spiritual suicide because that helmet is protecting your hand. Amen? And so you have to learn what your armor is. You have to learn what this valley is, what this valley that you're walking through with for the shadows of death. What is the shadow of death for you? It could be anything. What is the fear? Whatever the shadow of death, it says, I will fear no evil. He's telling you not to fear it. He said, because it is of the enemy. So he said, and I'm with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. So his rod and his staff is like a tree trunk. It's like a branch. He said that he's going to fight for you. You know, he takes that rod and he could just whip it or swing it one, and it makes a loud noise. And whatever that noise is that the rod is making, it fights off the predator, okay? And so we have to be content with him when he says that he said, fear not, you know, fear no evil as you walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Again, you know, life is full of disappointment. Life is full of trouble. And the most thing, and it's so unexpected, you don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, but he's saying, don't fear it. He said, don't fear it. Amen? And so I want to just kind of reiterate, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and no shepherd is my Lord. That's a new mindset. Again, we're dealing with the helmet of salvation and dealing with that. Our minds have to be clear. Our minds have to be focus. We have to stay focused on God's word. So when he's leading us beside still waters, you know, in Matthew 5:6, he said he's blessing those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They'll be satisfied. That's what Matthew 5:6 says. It says to drink in spiritual terminology. When we're drinking in our spiritual terminology, it means to take in or to accept or to believe, okay? So God gives us the best water to drink. He does not let us drink from a dirty pool of water again. Amen? And so we have to say yes to his will, yes to his way. We're taking a vow, okay? And so when we're saying yes to his will, yes to his way, we're taking that vow, and we don't know what's in that cup that we're drinking from. It's going to be the naysayers. It's going to be the stones. It's going to be the knives, the bricks. It's going to be all that and some. It's going to be a dirty pool of water. But when we take the vow, we have to understand what vow we're taking. When we say yes to his will, yes to his way, when we're submitting ourselves to him in Psalms 23, we're saying that we belong to you, I belong to you, and no matter what it is, whatever, what comes to me, you're my shepherd. You're my shepherd, and I'm looking up to you. This is where I get the rest. This is where I'm being nurtured. This is where you're fighting the parasites. I don't have parasites. I don't have fleas. I'm not itching. I'm not scratching. You know, I'm not dissatisfied. I'm with you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. And so you cannot go to war with no armor. You can't even when you're fasting, you cannot fast and have sex. Most people don't believe that because sex, why do I say that? It's because sex is satisfying to the flesh. So how do you say yes to his will and yes to his way, and you're saying the Lord is my shepherd, and then you go on a fast, and I shall not want, but then when you start going through the valley of the shadow of death and you fast, you still want to appease to the flesh. You can't do it. It's suicide. You can't win the race like that. You can't win the battle like that. So we have to allow our flesh to die. And this is a daily fight, allowing our flesh to die. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure when we're saying yes to his way and when we're saying yes to his will, that we understand the vow that we're taking. We understand that it's a covenant. We understand we're saying that we're marked with your mark. We have your mark. We have your stamp of approval on our forehead. When people see us, they see you, Lord. When they see me, when they see you, they're seeing your name on me. They're seeing your stamp of approval. They're seeing what the goodness of God. They're seeing that the light is shining, and they want to be drawn to the light. They want to see the smile. They want to see the contentment. They want to see that you're being nurtured. So Psalm 23 to me, and you can figure out what it means to you when you read it, you know, just make sure that you're asking God for a greater discernment. Make sure that you ask God, and, you know, to bear much fruit from you. And I understand, and I hope that you understand, I understand what it means when it says, my people perish, when God is saying my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Okay, let me explain this. It's not so much cancer. It's not so much high blood pressure. It's not so much a gun that kills people. It's a lack of knowledge because it kills people. It is a lack of knowledge that kills people because knowledge is preventive. It's a preventive measure. So some of you might be saying, well, what do you mean it's a preventive measure? It's a preventive measure. So it's like you turn the stove on and you put your hand up there and somebody's telling you don't touch that because you're going to get burnt, and you put it up there and get burnt. You had a lack of knowledge. You had someone giving you knowledge and giving you instructions telling you not to do that, and you did it anyway. Okay? So knowledge is a preventive measure. It protects you. It's a form of safety. This is why we have coaches. This is why we have mentors. This is why we have a whole lot of leaders that are willing to pour and mentor and pour their knowledge and their attributes that God has given them into you. But you have to be ready to receive it, and you have to be ready to listen, and you have to be ready to follow instruction. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so we perish for lack of knowledge because we lack understanding. We don't seek. God says not seek. He said, and the door shall be opened, but you're to knock and seek. And continue to knock and seek till you get the right answer. Your spirit man will always bear witness with it. It will always be in agreement with the word of God. So we just thank the Lord right now. We thank him, and we want to magnify his name. We thank you for greater discernment. When we enter into a church, we can automatically see the condition of the sheep. We can automatically see if they're content or if they're discontent. We can see if there's cliques within the body. We can see if the pastor or leadership is doing what they're supposed to do, because your pastor and your leadership is going to nurture you if he's a great pastor. If he's a sent one, he's going to do everything that he's supposed to do, that he knows to do. And if he's on his face before the Lord, God will give him the structures. You will see that he's a great shepherd, okay? So a hireling, again, is someone who's not looking at you. It's just taking your finances. And then when he's gone, when they leave, they just leave. You know, they don't care anything about the flock. They don't care anything about the sheep being contaminated. So we continue to have to ask ourselves, the green pastures mean humbling yourself into the place where you're totally submitted to your Father, to your Heavenly Father, and to your earthly pastor, or, you know, that you're submitting upon this. So just trying to reiterate with those two scriptures that don't be afraid of the valley. Don't be afraid to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I can give a brief testimony of me. I was in the hospital, and the doctor was, they were getting to use me as a guinea pig, you know, a sacrifice. And I had no advocate there to help me, and I was knocking at death's door. And all I could say is, Lord, you heard what he said to me. He took a needle and stuck it right in my jugular vein and told me that's where the infection was going to start, you know, where the infection would begin, in my neck. Okay? I had nobody but the Lord. I was knocking at death's door, so I had to trust God with everything in me that I shall live and I shall not die. That was my vow. Was I a little afraid? Yes, but it was no time really for me to be afraid. I had to know that I know that I know that I was going to live and I wasn't going to die. Because everything was out of my control. And they were trying to blow my brains out with all this medication that they were shooting through my jugular vein. And it was hitting my brain like fireballs. And my brain was exploding every time they would put pain medication in there. And there was nobody there to advocate for me. There was nobody there to, you know, I couldn't even say, take it out. And the Holy Spirit had to say, tell them I said take it out, and you get up and walk up out the hospital. You have to know. You have to have a relationship with God. You got to know that he is your Father. When he says, when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you got to know that he's your shepherd. He's your advocate. He's advocating for you. You have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he tells you to get up and walk out, you got to get up and walk out. If he tells you to lay there and allow this surgery to go forth, then do so. But make sure that you understand in his voice. And the only way that you can do that is by having a relationship with him, hearing his voice, understanding when he speaks to you. Being in prayer and supplication, fasting, and spending time in the Word, and asking for discernment, asking, and he will give you revelation. Amen? And so that's what it means to me. I would encourage you all to continue to study Psalms 23. I will continue to encourage you to humble yourself before the hand of the mighty Father. I would encourage you to be fruitful and to become whole. Okay, the love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. And many of us Christians, you know, we should know that. We should know the love for him. We should know his love versus his chastisement. We should know what love, peace, and joy is all about and what love, suffering is all about. We should know this. With the goodness and with faith and meekness, we should know what temperance is all about if we stand that he is our shepherd and we shall not want. We should know that he will take care of us when he says that he's going to take care of us. We shouldn't have a worry in the world, a doubt in the world, when we're submitted to him and we're marked with his seal of approval. Amen? And so I want to much stop there and see if anyone has any questions or have any comments.
Yes, I make a quick comment. I heard most of it, but I had to be away at times, and I'm thankful that I can go back and re-listen to the recording. But most powerful delivery there that you gave, and really telling us what it is for the Lord to be our shepherd. And it's more than just saying he is our shepherd. It's about us having that one-on-one intimate relationship with him and knowing him for ourselves. And I just think it was a powerful delivery that you gave here about the Lord being our shepherd. And so that's what I just wanted to say, just throw that in. But we must be striving to have that one-on-one intimate relationship with the Lord so that when we speak to him and we can hear him in our spirit speaking back, and particularly when we have decisions to make about things in our lives and want to be guided by him, well, you got to be in his word. You got to be praying. You got to be doing all that you can do on your part to really get in to knowing this God that's willing to be our shepherd, to lead and to guide us in all areas of our lives. So I just praise God for your message. It was very powerful. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And just be, just know that there's an assurance there. Just know that when you lie down in his green pastures, that he will give you rest. He gives you an assurance. He cares for you. He gives you rest without worrying about predators or what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen the next day, what, not even what you're eating. He gives you an assurance there that you're going to be safe. He's in, you know, you're in his arm. You're under his covering. And so we have too many people and too many Christians, and we've been, all been there, that when we say the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, but then we're worrying about how our rent is going to get paid. You know, we have to learn to discipline ourselves unto him. Okay? But, yes, we're in this earthly vessel. Yes, we're on earth, and we have laws that we have to abide by here on this earth. But then we have to do a self-examination on ourselves. Did we do A, B, C, and D? Did we save up for our rent? Did we save to pay our gas bill? Did we put money aside for our car note? We still have to comply with the laws on the land. And then sometimes you just, he's just going to test you. But you just got to know that you're hearing him. Amen? You got to know that with an assurance. Because we already know we don't pay our rent, we ain't going to have nowhere to live. But if he's giving you an assignment to do something a little different, then you got to roll with the flow. That's part of serving him. Okay? You got to roll with it because it might be something that he's trying to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So instead of buying $200 tennis shoes and a $200 dress or $100 dress when we know we really don't need it, you know, that's gluttony. You know, we have to learn how to save. We have to learn how to persevere. We got to learn how to put up for a rainy day. And those are the times that we're living in right now. You know, we need to be trying to save every little thing. We don't need to be having a whole lot of stuff with us. Although this is a year of restoration, and I don't believe God's people who are really serving him are going to have to, they're being blessed. They're going to continue to be blessed because they don't have to worry about anything because of the God that they serve. The God that we serve. The God that I serve. Amen?
Amen.
He guides us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not for my name's sake, not for your name's sake, his name's sake. His name's sake is to be glorified. Above all things. Okay? So he restores our soul. So does anybody else have anything else to say? To comment on?
I just want to say that, again, that was very powerful, very inspiring, and a way that to know who your shepherd is. And, you know, even when you pray, are you praying to the Lord, and what are you praying for? But it's always easy to look at things when there's no problems and no issues, but when, just like Sister Beverly says, when you have to make decisions, or even in your testimony part, when you have no one to go to, you can know that God is your God, and he's going to look after you, and you can trust him with everything that you have, and that whatever he says to do, that you can rely on it. Even if you don't know where you're going, you can rely on what he's telling you or leading you. And you may not understand at this present time, but later on, he's going to reveal it to you. So it's important that you have that relationship with the Lord one-on-one. The more you stay with him, he will reveal more things to you. And again, that was very powerful, very inspiring.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
I just want to say that I declare that our eyes and our spirit function for 2020 vision with correct understanding and interpretation of divine movements, and that our ears are tuned in with the correct frequency of the spirit, and we have clear transmission. Amen? Because I think that's very important. We need to know that. We need to understand it. And most of all, we need to really understand what we're dealing in warfare with that helmet of salvation that we just speak about as a cliche. And that helmet is a very beautiful helmet. Actually, people, when you see a picture of it, it looks like a piece of art. But that helmet protects your mind. It protects your thought. It protects you from taking spiritual blows to your head. Okay, this is why you have a lot of people that are schizophrenic. You have a lot of people that are bipolar because we don't put on our spiritual helmets. We don't try to keep a balance within our mind. We take a lot of hits into our emotions. And when we take hits into our emotion, our emotional area of our mind, it causes a split in the brain, you know. And so we have to be careful. We have to not just want to quote certain scriptures just to be quoting them. We need to quote them and put them on and be active in what we're doing and understand why we're doing it. Amen? And so that's just one part of the weaponry, is just that helmet. You know, when we don't put it on, when we take all these emotional hits, that's just like committing spiritual suicide. And God does not want that to happen to us. You know, you don't go to an army, you don't go to a war unprepared. You know, you don't go into a war unprepared. You're trained to do certain things. You're trained, even when you sleep, your spirit man is still woke. Mm-hmm. He's still when danger is coming. That helmet has to stay there. And I just kind of wanted to bring that helmet in just to let you guys know it's a part of the weaponry that we just use it and we forget to use it. We forget to wear it. Mm-hmm. We forget to wear it. You know, and then you see a lot of people who are emotionally unstable because of their emotions have been so traumatized. And they don't know how to pull it together. And some of them need help, and some of them could snap themselves back and work slowly trying to bring themselves back. But it's a fight. It is a fight. Why? Because we're not totally trusting God, the God that we say we serve. Amen? Amen.
Sister
Faith?
Yes.
Well, you know, when we look at the Book of Psalms, we look at the word trust. David trusted the Lord. And same what the pastor said about a soldier fighting. First, a soldier had to be recruited before he'd be trained. And David was recruited as a young man, but he was sent back to the sheep herd to learn how to really shepherd. And we got to look at the words in Psalm and say, 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. So David was looking upon himself as the sheep. And by the still waters is that it's calm. Still waters are ever flowing and calm because sheep are fittigy. And anything that excites a sheep, he will scatter. And he has to take that rod to guide them and lead them and pull them back in. That's how the word of God does it. Remember when Stephen was stoned to death in Acts, the people scattered. When Jesus died on the cross, his disciples scattered. There were things that were done when they found out about Paul. They scattered. They didn't want to be beaten. They didn't want to be bit by vipers and things. And see, we have Philippians 4:19. For my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That has a connection with the Psalms 23. Then we got to look at, I think it's Isaiah 40:11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lamb with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Jesus said, enter my rest and you will have peace. And that's what David did. He entered to the rest of God. And by entering the rest of God, your souls are restored. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. So if God is with you and on your side, you don't have the fear of death, because he promised us if you follow him, you will have eternal life. And see, the mercies of God and his love and kindness will endure forever. But we got to remember that the sins of our youth, and David had sins in his youth and transgression and iniquity, but he was a man after God. Because David had one attribute that I think a lot of leaders of today that I have observed don't have. Any time that he committed a transgression against the Father, he repented of it. And if you read the book of Psalms, you will see his repentance by him singing with a 10-string instrument we call harp. He also said in Psalms 25, he asked the Lord to keep his soul and deliver him and let him not be ashamed, for he put his trust in thee. After continually daily put our trust in God, whether you are a leader standing on a platform in front of the congregation, or you at the door as a hospitality greeter, you have to commit yourself and not be ashamed of the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit that called you to be a vessel for him. Whether you are a minister, a pastor, bishop, elder, or being a child of God, you got to remember, he is the Redeemer. He is our Savior. And he is the one in our times of trouble that can deliver us. And sometimes he carries us through things to meet us where we are, to get us where we need to be. And a lot of things we go through, like David, we studied the Psalms. You know, he said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've gotten to the end. Does anybody have any more questions or comments?
Well, I just thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to speak to the listeners. And I pray that seeds were sown, that revelation revealed to them, and a kingdom of discernment will come forth. Would encourage them to continue to study their word for themselves and not just take a man's word. Get in the Bible and show yourself approved on God's word. And so I just want to continue to encourage that, because we're so often in conversation, we want to take people's word on what they say, but we need to study for ourselves. We need to know this for ourselves. We need to get our own revelation. We need to get our own understanding.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Pam, can you close in prayer for us?
Yes. So, Father God, I just thank you right now. Father God, I just thank you for allowing this time, allowing the preparation for the people, allowing for your word to go forth. You said it will reap a harvest in due season. And Father God, I thank you that this day would operate according to God's timetable, divine timetable, and that we agree that God's agenda is our agenda this day, and it's not our own. And I thank you, Father God, that we've been brought with a price, and therefore we submit ourselves to you alone. And we declare, like Jesus, in the name of the book, the volume of the book that is written for us, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, for this day. We should not be confused this day. Hallelujah. We thank you that the angels of the Lord will persecute those that are trying to come after us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we are covered with the smoke screen, the prayer shield, the prayer, the bloodline of protection. And we thank you that the enemy will not be able to penetrate through these hedges of protection. And we just want to give you the praise and glory right now in Jesus' mighty name. I bless Radio Blog. I bless Minister Faith, Father God, for continuing to obey and to do your word as you have given her instructions to do, and the listeners on here, Father God. I thank you that people will get involved and want to magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you all for joining us today, and I hope all of you have a good evening. May the peace of the Lord always be with you. And thank you.
God bless.
And good night.